God said he was going to be preaching from here real soon. Told him I was going to be preaching from it. But now it says there in verse 5, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. You know, when you use the law, and he talks about using it rightly here, and this law, it comes down to the gospel. The gospel and the law is not at enemies with one another. The gospel no more excuses sin than the law does. But it's how you use the law and what the law means and how you it's effaced. Paul told Timothy, you know, to study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing. A workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And here's one place where it needs rightly divided. He says, now the end of the commandment. Now when we talk about the end of something, we're talking about the aim or the purpose of it. What's the aim or the purpose? The end, the goal of the law. Well, it tells us here is charity. It's love. That word charity is the same word as love. You know, the law tells us to love God and love our neighbor. Now you keep here and look over with me in Matthew chapter 22. Look in Matthew 22 and verse 35. A whole bunch of people came to ask the Lord questions, and finally there's one man come to ask his last question, a lawyer. Now a lawyer, somebody who is like the same thing as a rabbi, same thing as a master in Israel, they studied the law. They studied the law. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question. And look what it says, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? I'm sure he had his own idea. I'm sure he had his own opinion. I'm sure he thought of something, you know. But Jesus our Lord said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love. Love God. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love. Love. The gospel goes farther and tells us to love our enemies. Pray for them which despitefully use us. The law don't tell you that. The law don't tell you that. And you know our Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells us also this, you know, if you have the voice of an angel, have the voice of an angel, and have not charity, you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So the aim and purpose of the law is love. Love is charity. In fact, this is called the royal law. Now, I want you to keep 1 Timothy, and I want you to look in Romans chapter 13. You've got to see this. Romans chapter 13. You know, I get on the internet, and I listen to some messages, and the thing is that whenever you see it, a Reformed church, you can always count on this. That they go to Calvary to get their sins forgiven, and they go to the law to get sanctified, to learn how to live. Now, there's no love in that, but we'll get to that. But look what he said here in verse 8, Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. And I tell you what, when you get that debt paid, you've really done something. That's a debt we all owe one another, to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Ain't that what it says? He that loveth another fulfills the law. He honors the law. He honors God. Look what he says now. For this Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now look here. If you wouldn't lie to your neighbor, you wouldn't covet what your neighbor has. You wouldn't commit against it, steal from him or commit adultery against him. So you love him, so you wouldn't do that. And then look what the next verse says. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. He's not going to do anything to harm his neighbor. I'm not going to do anything to harm you, and you're not going to do anything to harm me. We don't even want to have ill feelings toward anybody. And that's what he says, no ill feelings. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, back over in Timothy with me. Then he said, this is the royal law. I tell you, the love of God, the love is what the law is, the end of the law, the purpose of the law, the aim of the law. Then he says, out of a pure heart. Now, wait a minute. Where in the world are we going to get that? Well, thy Lord Jesus, you know, he taught on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, let me ask you something. We can't purify our hearts. God, you know, Peter says, you know, that he purified our hearts by faith. But where do you get a pure heart? We're not born with it. And it's not natural to us. So Christ in his precious blood purifies our heart, purifies it by faith. And a pure heart. Now, how in the world do we see God? I see God now. We're not talking about seeing God when we get into eternity. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Where do we see God? We see him by faith. How can you see him unless you've got a pure heart? So this pure heart means having an honest heart. And Christ purifies our hearts. Now, I do know this, that you cannot know God unless you can't see God unless you've got a pure heart. And you know how in the world, how you reconcile that when we have this flesh to deal with? I don't know. But I know that's what it says, and I know that's what the Scriptures teaches us. People, they're striving to have a pure heart. And beloved, where they want to end up at is where we start. We start with a pure heart. We don't want to end up with a pure heart. We start with one. We start with seeing God. We start with knowing God. We see God in His Word. We see God in one another. We see God in His gospel. We see God in creation. We see God in the salvation of His elect. We see God. Now look what else he says now. And then out of a good conscience. Oh my. People say, well, you know, I trust my conscience. Listen. A good conscience. They didn't say a perfect conscience, a good conscience. Paul talked about having a conscience void of offense toward God and offense toward man. And when you take the blood of sprinkling and it applies it, the Scriptures tells us in 1 Peter, he said he applies it to our conscience. The blood of sprinkling applies to our conscience. And a conscience, it's of a good conscience. Now how do you get a good conscience? Where do you get it at? The same place you got faith, the same place you got grace, the same place you got everything else. From the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Scott Richardson used to say this all the time. You know, when your conscience bothers you, when your conscience accuses you, conscience tells you that you're guilty, conscience tells you you've done wrong. Well, you know what in the world will quieten the conscience? Is a perfect sacrifice will quieten a screaming conscience. When you've got a perfect sacrifice, like the Lord Jesus Christ, who's perfect in His sacrifice, and when God requires no more sacrifice, my conscience can ask for no more. So my conscience becomes good. It don't accuse me anymore. It can't accuse me of sin. Christ put it away. And I'm not going to trust my conscience for nothing. I'm not going to trust you know what I'm going to trust? I'm going to trust Christ. You know, Bruce told me today, he said, Martin Luther, you know, Luther said this. He said, if I look at myself, there's no way in the world I can be saved. But when I look at Christ, there's no way in the world I could be lost.
Ain't you glad we got somewhere to look outside?
Huh? And oh, a good conscience. Your conscience right now, before God Almighty, does not bother you. Does not trouble you. And you know why it doesn't? Because you've got a perfect sacrifice that God Almighty's accepted. And that's why we can come boldly, freely, with liberty into the very presence of God. Huh? And then look what he says here, of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. You know, feign means to pretend, to put on. He's talking about a faith that's not feigned, just a real faith, genuine faith. Faith that's not hypocritical. Faith that's not put on. Faith that's not a sham faith. A real, genuine belief of the truth. A belief in the Word of God, a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says the end of the commandment is charity, and where there's charity, where this love is, where this law brings you to this place, it'll make in you, it'll put this faith in you, put this charity in you, put this good conscience in you, pure heart in you, and where there's love, all of these things abide. Abide. They're fruits. They're fruits. Now look what it says next now. Talking about law now. Talking about commandment. The end of the commandment. The end of the moral law is what he's talking about. From which having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now what in the world does it mean, some of them which have swerved? Well, we're talking about the law. We're talking about the commandments. And it says what they do is they shoot at the law. And when they get there, they miss the mark and they go this direction. You know why they go this direction? When what mark they miss Christ. And Christ's finished work. They miss the gospel. When they try to use the law as anything other than what God intended it to do, is produce love and cause us to love God and love our neighbor, and he puts that in our heart. So with these fellas, they go this way and go off that way. I'll give you an illustration. I heard a man preach, and I mean he preached the gospel right down the line. I mean just got right down there. And then he got down to the last couple of points that he had, and he says, now here's what I want to tell you. So then he started talking about how women's supposed to dress and how that you're supposed to be separated from the world. Now that's swerving. That's missing the law. That's going that direction. The gospel takes you one way. Christ takes you one way. The law takes you one way. It takes you to Christ. And I tell you, they've swerved. They've missed the mark. They've turned aside. And that word vain jangling means that they talk like a fool. You ever heard somebody talk so much, you know, you just get to where you don't even pay attention to them? That's the way these fellows are about the law. Just wear you out. You know, so that's what they're doing. They're vain janglers. They talk foolish. When we hear somebody talk about the law and tell us how we're supposed to live by the law, that's a vain jangler. That's a fool. We're not going to listen to him. Not doing. And they miss the end of the commandment. And I tell you, you miss what God intended for the law to do. He told that lawyer, love God. That's the first commandment that God did. Love the Lord thy God. Have none before me. And the second table, the first word out of the second table, which deals with men, is love your neighbor as yourself. He said, that you do that, and you've already fulfilled the law of God. And that's why he talked about the fruit. But who in the world can put a law against love? What law would go against love? And oh my, you missed the end of the commandment. You're a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Miss the mark of Christ, his finished work, the gospel of grace, and the marks of a vain jangler. First of all, he swerves. He stays straight. He's swerving. He's swerving. Second one, he turned aside. You know, notice he said there, said he turned aside. He'd go this way and then he turns that way. He turns away from the aim and the purpose of the law. He turns a different direction. Turns completely aside. I used to tell Larry that all the time. Whenever I got a question or something, I want to ask somebody a question, I'll say, turn aside. Turn aside, I got a question, you know. And ask them about a car, something needs to be done, can this be done or something. And if I ever tell you to turn aside, that means I got a question for you. And that's what these fellows did. They turned aside. Huh? And there's vain janglers, talk like a bunch of fools. That's what it means. And then look what else it says about them. And this is why they're vain janglers. They desire to be teachers of the law. They want to teach the law. And let me say something right here. You know, when you go in, when you went through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you go in there when way the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rabbis and all of them treated the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why that lawyer tempting him. Every one of them come to tempt him, to try him. And they try to tempt him so many different ways. Because they said, anybody that's trying to be saved by the law and be justified by the law and be accepted of God by the law, they sit as a jury. They sit as somebody on a jury. And they watch you. And they pass judgment on you. They pass conviction on you. They pass the law. They use the law against you. And that's what they desire, to be teachers of the law. And James says this. He said, oh, don't be many masters. Don't stand up and say, listen, I want to be a master. I want to be a teacher. He said, oh, don't do that. He said, you know who's going to receive the greatest judgment? The more teachers you want, the more you want to be a teacher, the more judgment you're going to have to deal with. Huh? And oh, they desire to be teachers of the law. That desire means to be desiring, to love the preeminence, to love prominence, to love to be recognized. It's like those fellows in the Gospels. They love to stand on the street corners with their robes, making long prayers. Making long prayers. Boy, when they come in the house, they can't touch nothing or nobody. They're unclean until they go wash and wash all over and all this, and they can't even be around nobody without washing. Even Jews today, they're that way. They're that way. The wives have to dress a certain way. They got to shave their head and put a wig on top of their head. That's how subjection they've got to come under to that law. I heard one of them say there are 630 something laws I got to keep, and I tell you what, that just keeps me busy just studying which ones I need to be studying. Desire to be teachers of the law. I've told you this before. There's a fellow named Ted Chrisman. We was in a meeting up at Daniel Parks pastored Redeemer Baptist Church before they moved to another place. And this Presbyterian then was there, and they had this meeting. Me and Tim James and Todd and Don but this one fella, he is out of Reformed Church out of Owensboro, Kentucky. He got up and he said this. He says, you know, there's the righteousness. You know, we've got a righteousness, and then we got the righteousness of Christ. The first thing he said was wrong. We have a righteousness. And he said, and what you have to do, he said, walking, you know, said, if you don't walk a tightrope and walk that straight up tightrope, if you go too much to your righteousness, then you'll fall off. If you go too much to the righteousness of Christ, you'll fall off. So you got to keep a balance in your righteousness of Christ. What would you call a fellow like that? Vain jangler. A fool. Jim James said, anybody got a gun? And needless to say, Don Fortner got up behind him, and I'm telling you what, I'd hate to be in that fellow sitting there listening to that. Don took him to tear him. But anyway, they desire to be teachers of the law. To be called teacher. Be called rabbi. To be called doctor. Oh my. And I tell you, just the fact that you want to be recognized. Recognized. Right, Reverend? Reverend. Doctor sounding brash. Doctor Doom. Doctor Do-Good. Dr. Long. Just keep on going with all the doctors and just keep on your doctors and all that. But I tell you, legalism takes on many forms. If you want to be recognized, that's legalism. And it says they desire to be teachers. Now look what it says. Understanding neither what they say. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. Nor what they're affirming. They don't understand. They truly don't understand what they're talking about. They really, truly don't understand. Huh? Oh my, they don't preach and teach the purpose of the law, the aim or purpose of the law. They don't understand what they're talking about. They don't understand what they're affirming. In fact, when these law keepers come around, Paul withstood them to their face. And he says they're troublers of the peace of God's elect. They're the troublers of the peace of believers. And troublers of the church. Now, look over here in Acts 15. You know, this... Look what it said here in verse 1 of chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Now, they're going to have the first church council right here. And certain men, which came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses. Look what they said. You can't be saved. You Gentiles, you got to do exactly what the law says. You got to be circumcised after the manner of Moses. Circumcision started with Abraham. But anyway, look what it says down here now in verse 10. Now this is Simon Peter talking now. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why you want to put that yoke of the law on them? I couldn't bear it. You couldn't bear it. And our fathers couldn't bear it. But now look what he says down in the next verse. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be saved like them Gentiles are going to be saved. We're going to have to be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Oh my, I tell you, I've told you this before, I'm not going under the law. Nobody's going to bring any law in here. Nobody's going to bring any rules in here. Nobody's going to bring any regulations in here. Nobody's going to bring any, we're not going to bring no dress codes in here. We're not going to, I went through that rigmarole years ago, and we're not bringing nothing in here but the gospel of the grace of God, the free grace of God in Christ, and salvation of the Lord from Alpha to Omega. We're not going to put nobody under any kind of bondage. If the Lord Jesus can't take care of His sheep, I sure would be a sorry excuse trying to do it. Ain't that right? I tell you, he can tell you what's right, and He can tell you what's wrong. You read the Bible, and it'll tell you what's right for you and what's wrong for you. God, He'd do that. Now look what it says. I got to hurry off. Look what it says. These fellows, they've done all their swerve, turned aside, because desiring to be teachers of the law. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Now there's the key. There's the key. We know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Now he's talking about the moral law. It's good because God's the author of it. It contains good and excellent things. And it's really good if a man uses it lawfully for the purpose which God sent it to do. Now, I want you to look in Romans chapter 7. And here's a perfect illustration of what we're talking about. Romans 7:12. We know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Now look what the apostle says. Wherefore the law, Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and is just and is good. Now watch this now. Was then that which is good made death unto me? That law that was good, that law that was just, that holy, that commandment that was holy? Is that made death unto me? God forbid. What made death unto you, Paul? Sin. Well, how did you know it was sin? That it might appear sin. How did it appear to sin? Sin working death in me by that which is good, that law. That law, that's what the law's for. It brings a man to make him understand. We're moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And he says, working death in me by that which is good, by that law. And that the sin, that sin by the commandment, by the law, by a commandment, became exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Now, you know, how do we use the law lawfully? Well, I'll tell you how we don't. We don't use the law to obtain life, righteousness, salvation, or acceptance with God. All the moral law do is condemn us. We don't use it as a rule of life. No, no, no. The legalists would have us go to the law to be holy and to be sanctified and to be made pure before the law. But God gave the law. Listen to me now. God gave the law. The commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And it's by the knowledge of the law that sin came. You know, and that's why the law, when we talk about the law, what it does is it comprehends what you think, what you say, what you feel. It comprehends everything about you. And it's not a rule of life. You that desire to be under the law, don't you hear the law? The law demands perfection. We can't do it. But now I tell you, the lawful use of the law for unbelievers is for the knowledge of sin. The knowledge of sin, the conviction of sin. And what the law does, Romans 3 tells us, you know, that moreover the law entered. The law came to prove to a man how sinful sin is. And so here it comes. And I tell you what, it shuts men up to Christ. Shuts men up to Christ. And I tell you, what about believers now? What's the lawful use for us? Well, I done told you to end the commandments, charity out of a pure heart. But now I want you to see this in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I want you to see this. You know, faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. Now look what it says here now. Second Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constrains us. Constrains us. You know what that means? That means it lays hold on us and lets us, it compels us, it constrains us, it pulls us, it tugs us. And here we are, because of a principle of love we have in Christ, because we thus judge that if one died for all, that if Christ died for all, then all that he died for died with him. That's what that's telling us right there. Now watch this. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So you see, our faith, we're not going to the law to know our sin. We know our sin. We know our inabilities. We know what we got to have. We know what we need. And then let me hurry on here. Now look what it says in verse 9. The law, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Now when he talks about a righteous man here, that means, you know, that's like those Pharisees and them. They thought they were righteous, you know. So the law is made for somebody else besides them. But the law is not made for a righteous man. And no man is righteous in himself. The righteous man here is the man who trusts Christ, believes Christ with his heart, and he believes unto righteousness. He knows that he has no righteousness but the righteousness of Christ. And that man who comes to Christ and lays hold of Christ, the consequence has been that he lives in this world soberly. That means that he don't act like a fool all the time. Righteously and godly. And he understands that he's got this flesh to deal with, and that's why he comes and needs the gospel. He's got to come and have the gospel. Got to have it. And I tell you, God's law don't weigh on us as a weight. It don't lay on us as a burden. Its curse and penalty is not against us. Don't lie on us. The punishment we're going to have to... And it's not a terrifying law to us. Bring him into bondage and fear. And it's not a despised law. Bring people into a life that they detest. You know how many people live under the law and as a rule of law, the law is a rule of life and try to be justified by the law? And you know, it's a hard, hard, hard taskmaster. Oh my goodness. You can't do it. I tried it one time. And I found out that, I mean, it was a hard taskmaster. You're just constantly trying to satisfy it. And you can't. You can't. Oh my. But the law is for, look who's for. People that are lawless. They don't want God. They don't want nothing about God. Disobedient. Ungodly. For sinners, profane sinners. Unholy, profane. For murderers. People who murder the fathers, murder their mothers. People who kill people. For whoremongers, men who just cannot just go after women and women after men. For them that defile themselves with mankind. Men after men, women after women. For men stealers, that means people that go out here and kidnap somebody and use them as like they do now in this slave trade and all that kind of stuff. Perjured persons. Do you know what a perjured person means here? Somebody that swears to something and then don't keep that oath. That's a perjured person. That's a perjured person. You swear to something and you don't keep it. And if there be any other thing, listen to this, contrary to the doctrine of Christ, the sound doctrine of God Almighty. And I love this right here. Anything that's contrary to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. And that's what he goes on to. Anything that's contrary to sound doctrine. And then what sound doctrine is he talking about? According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. He said, law, if you use it lawfully, wonderful. Not made for a righteous man, made for this group over here. Anything that's not according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. You know, Paul, he said, let's continue. People say, let's continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. He rebuked people doing that. Oh my. Suggested that life, that grace would lead you to a life of sin. He rebuked that. The gospel reveals God's glory. The love of God, the grace of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. And it's sufficient. And we've been entrusted with it. The scriptures tells us, and I'm done, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in an old clay pot. But boy, what a treasure it is. God trusted us with the gospel. Here we are, old clay pots, and he put treasures in clay pots. We don't have to head you in the gospel with laws and rules and ceremonies. No, we're saved by grace, and grace is, faith comes by grace. Everything we have by the grace of God. And oh God, work in us love, 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 love. The end of the commandment, charity. Love God. Love your neighbor. Old Maurice Montgomery says, love God, believe the gospel, trust Christ, and do as you will. Do what you will. If you love Christ and trust Christ, do what you will. Our Father, oh blessed Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank you for your truth, oh your truth. I pray that what I said tonight was a blessing, was encouraging. I know it helped me in studying, preparing it. And Lord, we do so want to honor you and glorify you. And Lord, more than anything in this world, we want to love you more. We want you to draw out our hearts after yourself. Draw out our hearts to one another, to pray for one another, love for one another, bear one another's burdens, lift one another up before the Lord Jesus Christ. Never let us sit in judgment on one another. Don't let us be jurists, setting, using the law against anyone at any time. Oh, don't let us do that. Oh, God, keep us from that. Bless these dear saints. Bless those that are listening tonight and watching. God bless them. Bless our dear brother, dear sister that we mentioned before. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, 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 He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Well, I'll see you next Wednesday night. Cody will be here Sunday.